Thank you, Mayu. You play that piano so beautifully. I don't know about you folks. I think all of us get captured by this crazy world out here. I know for me, I had to drive 395 to get here. And I think you probably know what traffic is like in and out. And all the insanity going on in the world. So when I stepped foot into this church and closed the door, I am at peace at last. Today's lesson is, what is capturing your attention? Many people don't understand the wisdom of the Bible, of Scripture, nor the Gospels. Not because they lack intelligence, but because they have no spiritual perception. They look without to the world, and their attention is limited to the material world and the temporary flesh. They are spiritually blind in the sense that they do not understand spiritual things. They may have physical sight, and they may have intellectual sight, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have spiritual sight. You can have perfect vision and be as blind as a bat when it comes to spiritual things. You can be a very intelligent person, but you are unable to make sense of the spiritual truths of God and of yourself. But when your spirit is alive, you have the capacity to know God and to know yourself in relation to and in God. But for this to take place, my friends, for realization to happen, for us to walk and live in the light, our attention must be keenly set on that which is not of this world, that which is perfect and eternal spirit within. And this is what we find in Proverbs 20, verse 27, where man's spirit is compared to a lamp. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Now, the human spirit can have a certain knowledge of its condition and state in reference to God. And this, of course, helps us to understand the way of truth. But for us to walk in the light of our Christ being, our minds must be stayed on and captivated by the withinness of us, on that Father within, that perfect, abundant, loving, creative source and power. So today, to what, where, and to whom are we giving our attention, and why? What is it exactly that is capturing your attention as of late? And what is it that you think upon, dwell upon throughout your waking days? Well, your response to these questions has a direct bearing on the quality of life you are living, the experiences you are experiencing, the demonstrations you are making or fail to make, and your feelings about life in general. And so it is that the world of today, the world of duality, with constant changes, ups and downs, good and bad, happy and sad, rich and poor, we find all too many individuals attuned to ongoing error and captivated by effect brought about by a sense of separation from God and the belief in the supposed power of the temporary and limited things of this world out here. Think, but for just a moment, think of those matters of the world that seem to find a place within the unguarded and ignorant mind, or a mind that loses faith and becomes weak. Matters that we allow to take our attention away from our perfect truth. Russia and Ukraine at war. The fear of World War III. Shortages of baby formula. Racial unrest and hatred. Crime and mayhem. And then we have COVID-19. The list, my friends, is endless, and it shall continue to grow, as this is the way of the world. This is the world at work. Effect, coming forth as emergency after emergency, war after war, disease after disease. Our divine science teaching is all about the omnipresence of God, the omnipotence of God, one power in all and all, and in all and of all. We arrive at church or jump on Zoom every Sunday to listen to a divine science lesson. And in this way, we are constantly being reminded that we are one in and of God, that we are perfect in all ways, that as spiritual and eternal beings, we are made in God's image and likeness. Yes, each one of us knows very clearly of what and who we really are, but what catches our attention the minute we leave this church or finish listening to the lesson on Zoom? Where do our minds wander, and what is it that we dwell upon? Do we open up the Sunday paper or turn on the television and allow the world and its era to invade our consciousness, to bring about anxiety, worry, to feel stressed, to feel ill or afraid? Or do we go about our day calmly while taking time in the stillness to realize and rejoice in the truth that we have within us all there is to have in the way of strength, power, health, abundance, joy, and love? It is with assurance and trust and faith that we are to give our attention to our Father, starting from our waking moment, leading up to the second we close our eyes to a gentle and peaceful sleep. So it is, Isaiah tells us, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Well, no doubt the words, the dynamics, the importance of the message contained in these words are relative right now, today, this very moment, and every day throughout the day. Yes, whose mind is stayed on thee. Let us recall when Jerusalem, whose name means place of peace, was threatened by the conquering Assyrians. Isaiah gave the terrified people this advice: "Thus saith the Lord God, in returning in rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." They heard him and were saved. Yes, their attention was stayed on the truth, and they realized that nothing of the world could really harm them, and neither can anything of this world harm us. However, when human reasoning and intellect tell us that we are threatened by disaster, when fear drives us into a whirlpool of panic, and decisions that are based on panic and fear, we find that this is because we are giving our attention to error and giving it a sense of power over us. And so it is especially during these times that our attention must be fixed to the within, to the silence where we shall again find the only true peace, the center of our being, the kingdom of God within each one of us, and rest there until the quietness and confidence and undaunted faith are realized once again. Yes, we turn our attention within and not let anything whatsoever of this world, of the limited flesh, capture our attention. We can listen to the still small voice, saying, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none beside me." And it is then that we shall hear and perceive the direction. "This is the way, walk ye in it." But would it not be a glorious day, my friends, when all individuals everywhere, everyone, everywhere, found their truth, gave their attention to all that is good, all that is perfect, all that encompasses the very nature and characteristics of our Father within, that the Master spoke of over 2,000 years ago? A life that is all of us in all, just waiting to come forth and bring about God on earth. Yes, to return to the Garden of Eden. Well, although such a day sounds wonderful and would indeed be glorious, it shall never take place until man, all mankind, realizes that his sole purpose is to come to know God, to know God all the more, and to live according to his will. Case in point, man has striven over the years to create this or that organization brought about to stem future wars, address and erase world poverty and hunger, ensure that all people are treated equal regardless of the color of their skin or national heritage, personal lifestyle, political affiliation, and so on and so forth. And so it is that we have this and that organization, each seeking to do good for this or that worldly cause. Now, I'm not saying that such organizations are of no use. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that they shall never, ever bring about a complete end to wars, an end to poverty, an end to hunger, and an end to hatred. Why? Because their focus is set on the very problems they wish to eradicate. And they see such error as real, when in truth there is no poverty, there is no hunger, there is no evil, there is no thing but God. So when every individual in every place comes to the realization of God's true nature and their own true nature, then and only then shall good and very good be the order of the day, as God's light shall make all of the crooked places straight, and man's attention to error shall be replaced by truth and by faith and by love. But until that happens, the world shall continue to beckon to us. And to man's dismay, he finds that in his ignorance, his lack of faith, or his willfulness, the things of the world have captured his attention and rule over him, making his day likened to an emotional roller coaster. So if any of us here today do give our attention to and believe in and fear lack, limitation, weakness, poverty, and whatever other negative illusions of this temporary world, then we know not who or what we really are, as our attention, our minds have been captured by the temporary world of effect. So who and what do we give our attention to every day? Thus, when it comes to that which should be on our minds, that which should capture our attention, we read, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Romans 12, verse 2. What I have been speaking of this morning has everything to do with the very nature of our demonstrations out here in the world. And it all starts with a thought. And it all starts with that which we look at, which we look upon in the physical world and wrongly accept as truth. And so the single eye sees only God. Good. Everywhere. And this perfect vision heals all disease in mind, body, and affairs. And so we are told, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Matthew 6, verse 22. Now, throughout the Bible, we read stories of those individuals that lost their way. Those that turned away from God and gave their attention to something outside of themselves, or were attuned to their own ignorance, such as Jonah, who ended up in the belly of the big fish, separated from his source, separated from God. And then again, in the Old Testament, there is Samson. And another example is Lot and his wife. Now, Lot and his wife had profited materially. They were wealthy. And they profited socially in Sodom. So she, his wife, understandably, had great difficulty leaving all of her possessions and social connections behind. Yes, these were the things that had captured her attention. Now the angel instructed them, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Yes, she turned around to observe her former dwelling one last time, indicating that she had not fully sought truth, sought light, but rather she was looking at error, the darkness of the world. She was attuned to and focused on the call of the flesh, with her thoughts centered on the material world that Sodom and Gomorrah represented, error and limitation. Now, although these stories are allegories, we know that, we in fact live them ourselves right now, today, through the choices we make based upon that which we give our attention to. It is our choice. It is our choice as we have dominion to select, to choose. And so we see that Lot and his daughters, unlike Lot's wife, went unscathed. They made the right choice. Let me share with you an actual experience that a lady went through when visiting a shopping mall. Maybe some of you heard about it. It was all over TV. Like so many individuals in today's world, this lady was walking through a shopping mall, looking down into her cell phone. She was so immersed and distracted that she gave no attention to where she was walking, and unfortunately walked into a small marble wall and fell over into a pool of water. Now, this unpleasant experience would have been avoided if she had just been paying attention to where she was walking, where she was going. By the way, it's quite comical to know that after that happened, she tried to sue them all because the water was in the way. Now, I believe we're all getting the message. This lady's failure to pay attention to where she was going resulted in an embarrassing incident, no doubt. But let's face it, my friends, there are untold individuals that have suffered and continue to suffer very unpleasant life experiences, some of them very sad and serious, simply because they look amiss. They look without. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. And so we have heard the saying, look where you are going, you will inevitably go where you are looking. Where your vision is, there is your destiny. So the question is posed again. To where and to what are we looking at today and as of late? What is it that has captured our attention and has us looking without into the material and temporary world of flesh and effect? It is vital for us to center our attention on God, because this is the only way we can bring into manifestation the divine ideas inherent in our spiritual nature. Unless we center our attention on God, we will be putting our attention on things or conditions of the outer or physical world to the exclusion of the divine idea we seek to manifest. Unless we are centered in God and His ideas, our spoken word will have only an imperfect concept of the divine pattern upon which to work, rather than the divine pattern held in God mind as idea. And so it is. To be true to the law is to stop looking to the without and to look within for supply. Looking to within means fixing the mind upon God as an ever-present spirit and substance and power and all else that is good, eternal and complete. For He is our shield and buckler. For example, the individual engrossed in listening to music seems quite unconscious of what is going on all around him. He is concentrating so completely on what he is listening to that his entire attention is given to the music. Likewise, through the practice of the presence of God, we learn how to direct our prayers and our attention to God. We are thus open and receptive to the ideas of the spiritual realm, which are the patterns for all forms of good we desire to manifest, such as shelter, clothing, education, harmony, healing, abundance, love. And so it stands to reason that as God is a source of all ideas, that we must center our attention on Him. The musician must center her attention on the principles of music if she would express beautiful harmonies and sound. The mathematician must center her attention on the principle of mathematics if she would produce right solutions. And the baseball player at home plate must center every bit of his attention on the pitch headed his way if he is to get a hit. Otherwise, he shall strike out. Now, we are told that prayer is conscious communion with God. So once we come into such communion, we have centered our attention on God. The result can be nothing less than a manifestation of good in every phase of our life. And so it must be true that there is in man a capacity for knowing God consciously and communion with Him. This alone, my friends, assures strength and abundance, health, joy, satisfaction, and love. As this lesson comes to a close, let us be conscious on that which we give our attention to, that which captivates us, as the nature and quality of our individual lives are determined by our points of reference, within to our truth or without to a temporary world of error and limitation. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Shall we make this lesson practical today and into the future? Will you join me now in our closing meditation and let this lesson into your consciousness? Please close your eyes and relax your body and sit comfortable in your seats. Be still. Be still. Father, immersed, full, and complete in your eternal good, my heart is filled with bountiful praise and gratitude for your unconditional love that is mine as your beloved child. I give thanks for the grace given me even during those times when my ego and personality sought their empty ways. Father, you are my shield and buckler, and there is no weapon that is formed against me that shall prosper. How blessed I am. Let your light shine forth from within me, dear God. Let my utterances out here in the world be words of joy, of love, of understanding, of peace, and of a great sense of gratitude as your blessed child. Father, for the awareness of your loving and giving presence that is here and now, in all of its glory, in all of its power, O most loving God, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses thee and keeps thee. The Lord shines his love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives thee peace. Amen.